There's plenty of news, and we've posted lots on the blog this week. Spain, of course, grappling with bailouts. The big news, of course, is Greek elections coming up this weekend. All sorts of rumors, including of potential coordinated central bank actions. But it's going to make for a very interesting Sunday here. Iceland sentences bank executives responsible for the banking collapse to prison terms, something that hasn't happened in a lot of places. A place to really watch is the Middle East. We're coming up onto a July 1st date for a new round of particularly the EU sanctions on Iran, and that's a very big headache for Japan, South Korea, China, and India, who are dependent on Iran's oil exports. They buy about two-thirds. We'll post an article tomorrow on the blog. Japan is set to pass a bill to ensure oil imports to keep it going. It's an important situation to watch. Remember, Japan came into World War II because we cut off their oil. And so there are very sensitive issues going on in the Middle East now. In Asia, you kind of wonder what this is about. The Chinese have offered £1.3 billion for the London Metal Exchange. Hard to believe the city of London would really let them buy and control it. But I asked Franklin to take a look at that, and hopefully he'll have a comment this evening. In the U.S. economy, the natural gas shift continues. If you haven't listened to the last interview I did with Jim Norman, I would strongly recommend it to you. One of the things Jim said is that 40% of U.S. manufacturing costs come from energy. It's a higher component of their costs than labor. And that's why this tremendous drop in natural gas prices, in part coming from new fracking technology, is having such a profound effect. I put up an article in the blog. I just wanted to read a few things to you from it. The fuel that powered the U.S. from the Industrial Revolution into the iPhone era is being pushed aside. They're referring to coal. As utilities switch to cleaner, cheaper alternatives, the share of U.S. electricity that comes from coal is forecast to fall below 40% for the year, the lowest level since the government began collecting this data in 1949. 4 years ago, it was 50%. Utilities are aggressively ditching coal in favor of natural gas, which has become cheaper as supplies grow, and on and on. I also continue to post articles and videos on robotics. One today on a robotic sewing machine that claims textiles could return in significant volume from China to the U.S. Another, believe it or not, on a pizza machine that will make a pizza to order, like a vending machine from fresh ingredients. There's a video of it. These technologies can have a very dramatic impact, including rising unemployment significantly. So we really want to keep an eye on them. I'll talk more about it in the wrap-up. Finally, a very interesting post from Forbes called Why Apple is Afraid of Bitcoin on Apple and the competition over digital wallets, which I think is also something to keep an eye on. There was a pretty face on the financial markets this week. You kind of wonder what all the backdoor deals was. Jamie Dimon testifies before the Senate hearing on the J.P. Morgan Chase financial loss, and everybody acted like everything was hunky-dory. Dimon insisting that it wasn't a speculative position, but that the portfolio morphed. Kind of sounds like what happens when the hedge no longer works. S&P reaffirms AA plus Treasury rating, confident that Congress will avoid a fiscal cliff after the election. It's very interesting to know how they anticipate that's going to happen. In local government and states, the North Dakota voters overwhelmingly rejected a constitutional amendment that would have made it the first state without property taxes, with 63% of the precincts reporting on the last article I read. The measure was rejected by 78% to 22%. One of the issues was how the governments, local governments, would replace the $810 million, almost $1 billion in revenues from the property taxes. North Dakota is a state with a, relative to anyone else in the United States, or relative to most states, has a very strong economy thanks to agriculture and oil, but it's a reminder, a very sharp reminder, that the U.S. population is highly dependent on government spending and traditionally very much in favor of it. That's how we got to an economy that is so dependent on government spending. an IRS oversight board annual report issued serious problems with the IRS and, interestingly enough, noted opposition to foreign financial reporting and what a strain it put on resources. Not a surprise, as we discussed at tax time and did our special report on the foreign financial reporting. It's very burdensome, very complex, particularly a nightmare for people who are living abroad. And that's not surprising at all that it's a real nightmare for the IRS as well. Federal Magistrate Stephen Smith wrote a paper I wanted to point out to you. I posted it last week, but I didn't talk about it last week. It's called Gag, Sealed, and Delivered, and it talks about the extent of the court orders for electronic surveillance. It's quite a chilling article, and it's worth reading because it's very rare for a federal magistrate to write something like this, and it really speaks to how serious the problem has become. Another very interesting piece worth noting in the under sort of the U.S. economy, Carville and his firm, Jim Carville, wrote a memo. It's up in Money and Markets, and it was really a memo written to the Democratic Party trying to persuade them to change how they approach the election in terms of how they treat the economy. Carville was the one who came up with the expression, "It's the economy, stupid." But it has some very interesting comments on the perceptions of the candidate, of the American people regarding the candidates. In media, the Times Picayune in New Orleans lays off almost 200 people, half their news staff, and is going to three-day-a-week paper. More announcements of major layoffs and changes in Alabama paper. That's sort of a symptom of what's happening globally as we see the print media really struggling in the face of more and more things going digital, going on the internet, going through the smartphones. Food and health, there's just fantastic news this week. The effort in California to get a referendum on the November ballot to require genetically modified foods to label their products has succeeded, and that is really a triumph. I can't tell you how pleased I am of all that. And in fact, one of our heroes for the week, we're going to have two this week, but one of our heroes is really a group. If you look at the extraordinary effort it took to get those signatures, all the volunteers, the grassroots activists, the farmers, and the leadership of the California effort are to be complimented. And this is an effort to, if you go to Europe, you get labeling, but you don't hear. And if we can accomplish it in California, we can accomplish it in the United States. If we can accomplish it in the United States, we can accomplish it globally. And it could make an extraordinary difference to the preservation of a healthy food system. And in respect to complimenting the leadership of that, I wanted to compliment a couple of people who've been noted as participating. One is the Lundberg Family Farm, the Strauss Family Creamery, which is in fact the first creamery in the country to be voluntarily certified as GMO-free, and Dr. Bonner Magic Soaps. There's just tremendous foodie resources out in California. In science and technology, I wanted to mention a few things. The worst idea of the week is the Gates Foundation, and this article is up on the blog. Check it out. The Gates Foundation is financing testing of galvanic bracelets. These are little bracelets that you put on children. They work like a lie detector. The children wear them during class, and they provide feedback to both administrators and teachers about how engaged the students are. If you can imagine anything as Orwellian as this, Diane Ravitch, one of the experts in the country on education, has blogged about it, and I posted that on the blog. She also posted about being thrown out of Brookings in a very sort of unceremonious way after being resoundingly critical of the Romney candidacy. And you wonder if Brookings Institution is being set up to engineer the Romney economic revolution, but that's a tangent. Take a look at the Gates article. It's very another reason to consider homeschooling. Another video that I posted was a fellow who had come back from vacation. He'd had a Volkswagen diesel car in Europe and had gotten, I guess, 70 miles per hour or better, and came back and realized he couldn't get such a car in the United States. The government wouldn't permit it, and was told by one of the dealers that the government would lose too much tax revenues. And it's just a reminder of how financial incentives can create very perverse perverse incentives to really getting effective change. So we're all paying much more for our gas here because the government needs the revenue.